Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
I have preached on this topic before, but we're really going to break it down these next four Wednesday nights. And I believe, sometimes, I'll be honest with you, as a pastor, it is hard to preach a message that can both be applicable for the new believer and the mature believer. That's why we always let the Holy Ghost make up the difference and let the Holy Ghost say to you what needs to be said. But I believe that this series is for every believer, no matter what season you are in. So Isaiah 43, verse 18, "Forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing." There's one person clapping. "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." Turn to your neighbor and just say the word unstuck. Unstuck. Turn to your second choice. Tell them unstuck. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For those of you wondering, unstuck is not a word. But for this series, it is. I was actually flabbergasted. That is a word. Today, when I was just going over my notes, I said, well, let's see what the definition of stuck is. Stuck is not even a real word as it pertains to what we believe or what we think. Stuck is the past tense, past participle of stick. And actually, stick and stuck would be very similar, but stuck, any definition you find online is someone's definition, but Cambridge doesn't have one for it, neither does Webster's. And so when we think of stuck, there's all kinds of connotations that we will dive into tonight. But I want us to get unstuck, moving on from the past, stepping out of the present, and boldly making a move to become unstuck. Here's the thing about being stuck. Sometimes you don't even know you're stuck. Sometimes what you're thankful for is actually what you're stuck in. Sometimes God does something so great in your life that that's where you build your home, that's where you stay, that's where you never move from. And God is saying, "Ooh, that was good in 2017, but you were never meant to stay there." But then some of us are stuck in other areas of our life that are not good, that are not great. Has anyone ever in this building ever felt stuck? Just raise your hand. I'll raise my hand. I've had stuck not just days or feelings, but I've had seasons where I just felt like I was treading water. And you say, well, you never act like it. Oh, I'm like that duck. On the surface, I'm as calm as can be. But under the water, my little legs, I'm just doing as the best job I can to keep it moving, to keep a smile on my face, and to keep pressing forward. Maybe you're stuck at a dead-end job. Maybe you're stuck in a relationship. Maybe even your marriage, you feel like you're stuck. Maybe you're stuck in your fitness journey, and I chuckle because I'm not even on the journey. I'm stuck out of the journey. Lord, help me. Maybe you're stuck in achieving your goals. You're stuck in accomplishing God's purpose for your life. Even more serious, maybe you're stuck in your relationship with Jesus. Maybe you're not growing anymore. Maybe your faith has become stagnant. Isn't it amazing that the thing that gives life, water, if it stays stagnant long enough, you would never drink it because of the way it looks, smells, and tastes. It would be robbed of its life-giving nutrients. And so there's a lot of times that our faith, after it becomes stagnant, cannot do what it is designed to do. Maybe your prayer life has just become words. Maybe your spirit life has become stale. But in this series, we're going to talk about how to get you unstuck. We're going to talk about how to avoid that stuck cycle, but we're also going to talk about the difference between stuck and repetition. Just because you're doing the same things over and over doesn't mean you're stuck. But sometimes that is the definition of stuck, that you're doing the same thing over and over and you're expecting a different result. That's what insanity is defined as. And we're going to talk about how to live that stuck-free life, that once you get stuck, you'll never be stuck again. The closest thing to a definition I could come up with was what I found, not in a dictionary, but online, and what was said, it resonated within my spirit in the context of what we're talking about this month. Stuck means unable to move from a particular position or place, or unable to change a situation. Let me just start this series by saying, without Jesus, you will always be stuck. And the reason I know that is because stuck people can't free people. And so Jesus is the only one, and the Word of God and the weapons of God and other believers can help you get unstuck. But if you don't know Jesus, you are always going to be stuck in the cycle of stuck. Just going circular. That cycle never ends. You're going to go over and over, and you might have a good day, but you're going to go right back into that cycle. Aren't you glad on a Wednesday night, with everything that's going on in the world, aren't you glad that you can sit here tonight and you say, I'm glad I know Jesus. I'm glad I know Jesus, not just as a historical figure, but I'm glad I know Jesus as the Lord of my life, the Savior of my life. I'm glad I know Jesus as my healer, as my deliverer, as the restorer of all things, as the reconciler. I'm so glad I know Jesus. So maybe you do feel unable to move from the place or position you're in, or unable to change a situation. I have great news for you tonight. You might not be able to, but Jesus can and Jesus will. Jesus can get you unstuck tonight. You can literally have your miracle tonight. I'm not in any way disparaging or denigrating a 12-step program or a 10-step process. I'm here to tell you that when Jesus came out of the grave, resurrection is a one-step miracle. It is a one-step progress. It is a one-step process. And so I'm here to tell you, if you're feeling stuck, I want to introduce you to Jesus for the first time tonight, or I want to reintroduce you to Jesus because somewhere along the line you might have forgot. But I'm here to tell you, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The power of the resurrection 2,000 years ago is available today. So the news is you can get unstuck tonight. When you get unstuck, there's two declarations that you must make over your life. I'm never getting stuck again. Once you get me out of this, Jesus, I'm never getting stuck again. I'm not going to fall into that trap again. I'm not going back to that past again. I'm not going to get stuck in the same mess that you just got me out of. That's number one. Number two, I will help everyone that I meet that is stuck get unstuck. Remember, stuck people can't unstick people, but free people can help everybody. And listen, I'm here to tell you, they are stuck all around us. They are sinking in quicksand at your job. There are people in your family, and they're looking to you. And I want to encourage you tonight, when God does it in you, remember, I've always said this, whatever God delivers you from, you now have a ministry in. And you can go back to your job. You can go back to your families and say, look at what the Lord has done in me. I don't have all the answers, but I do know the answer. His name is Jesus. He helped me get out of mine, and I'm going to help you get out of your, I'm going to walk the path of deliverance. I'm going to walk the path of recovery for you. And so, number one, I'll never get stuck again. Not like that. And I'm going to help everybody I know that is stuck get unstuck. Moses and the entire nation of Israel became stuck in the wilderness. For 40 years, they were stuck. They had spent years stuck physically in Egypt. They were physical slaves in Egypt to Pharaoh and all of his cohorts, stuck physically in Egypt, but then they spent another 40 years after they were freed being stuck mentally and spiritually in the wilderness, which leads me to this point, that you can get out of Egypt, But sometimes it takes a long time to get Egypt out of you. There's a lot of times where God gets us out of the geographic place that messed us up, but it takes a long time for him to get some of that other stuff. So some of us, we think just because we're no longer there that we're unstuck, but we don't know that there is in here, and then we're wondering why we're not doing what God has called us to be, being what God has called us to be, arrive at the destiny that God has called us to have. He took them out of Egypt, but oh, it took a long time for Egypt to get out of them. I want to encourage you, when God freed you physically, he freed you mentally, he freed you spiritually, he freed you relationally, he freed you in every sense of the word free. I'm glad to know that my God is not one dimensional, but when he frees a thing, he frees that thing totally. The entire book of Judges is literally about the nation of Israel getting stuck in the circle cycle. And God having to raise judges over and over, judges like Gideon and Deborah and Samson and Othniel, to deliver them, only for them to get stuck in the same mess over and over again. Can I just sidebar this? I realize that you and I are not God. I encourage you to help as many people as you can get unstuck. But if they keep jumping in the same mire that stuck them the first time, you are now no longer helping them. Now you're enabling them. And you've got to use discernment as to whether I keep getting them. There's a video that's been going around this month of a sheep that is stuck in a big trench. And somebody frees that sheep only for that sheep to take about 3 jumps and jump right back in that trench. The video ends there, and my question has always been, did the shepherd get him out of the trench again, or did the Good Samaritan get him out of the trench again? There's only so many times that people are going to help you out of the same mess. Now, God will help you out of every mess anytime, no matter how many times you jump into it. But you have to realize that people have an end of their rope, but God never does. People will throw in the towel and say that's too many times, but God will never do it. Over and over in the book of Judges, the Bible says they turned their back from God. They worshiped other idols. They were taken as slaves, and they were in bondage. And God would raise up a judge, and Samson would deliver the people of God, and they would be free for 40 or 50 years. And then they would turn their back on God, start serving other gods, and then somebody would come and take them into captivity. I'm here to tell you, enough is enough. Jesus is coming back for his church, and he's coming back quicker than he's ever been before. We are closer to the coming back of Jesus right now than we have ever been. And I want to encourage you, this is not the time to be stuck. When Jesus comes back, I'm not going to be stuck. I'm going to be serving. When Jesus comes back, I'm not going to be stuck in the circle cycle. I'm going to be winning souls. I'm going to be living testimony of what God has done in my life. I need to help somebody today and tell you that Jesus is coming back soon. And when he comes back, you don't want to be stuck. You want to be serving. On a Wednesday night, there's a maturity in this room that is not always here on Sunday morning. And so I'm talking to leaders tonight. I'm talking to those that are the cream of the crop tonight. Don't let stuck become a part of your life. Don't allow yourself to be free in these areas, but stuck in this area. Don't allow yourself to put a smile on your face on Sunday and Wednesday, but secretly you're stuck in this and in that. Why? Because God sees you. We need 100% free you so that we can reach a generation, reach a city, and do what God has called us to do. Turn to your neighbor and just tell him, I'm unstuck. Unstuck. I'm unstuck. Both instances, Moses and the nation of Israel, the entire book of Genesis, it hinges on one thing: leadership. We are always quick to talk about the oil flows down. We are always quick to talk about favor flows from the head to the rest of the body. However, here is an inconvenient and unpopular truth. Stuck flows from the head down. If you've got stuck leaders, you're going to be stuck. If you've got people over you with no vision, it's going to be hard for you to have vision. If you've got people over you that are saying, God can't, God won't, God shouldn't, it's going to be hard for you to get a miracle. I love bishop stories that tell of people right here in this town that were at churches where they received bad reports from the doctor. Or in other cases, they wanted to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit only for the priest of that congregation or the pastor of that church to say, we don't believe that here. But if you really want that, you need to go down to Steve Fender's church called Living Way. They believe all that stuff, but you're not going to receive it here. Listen, he even knows that if the head doesn't have it, the rest of the body can't get it. Well, I'm here to tell you every day of my life, I'm going to make sure that I'm unstuck. Why? Because I've got family dependent on me. I've got children dependent on me. I've got church community, faith community, Living Way, depending on the fact that I stay unstuck. I know stuck futures because of stuck people. I know stuck marriages because one or both spouses are stuck. I know kids that are stuck because they got stuck parents. Charles Barkley one time infamously said, if I see an idiot kid, I'll follow them home and see two idiot parents. And he was lambasted for that, but I have to say a hearty amen. I've been doing youth ministry since 2004, 18 years. If you had asked me the first 6 months, what's the hardest thing about youth ministry? I would have said the youth, but for the last 17 and a half years, if you asked me what's the hardest thing about youth ministry, it's parents. It's parents who have no problem shelling out $3,000 so they can play in club sports and travel all around the state on Sundays and Saturdays and live vicarious pipe dreams through their children. But when we say camp costs $295, ooh, that's too much. When we encourage them to bring their kids to Catalyst Youth and Catalyst Kids, man, that's every Wednesday. Every Wednesday, you're going to practice three or four times a week. You're traveling to Houston, Dallas, El Paso for all these tournaments. What are you doing? You're sticking your kids. Then you wonder why at 18 they don't have a relationship with God. You wonder why at 21 they're not serving God. You wonder why at 25 they married somebody who's stuck and they have kids now that are not going to Sunday school, not going to VBS, and don't have a relationship with God. Why do we have stuck kids? Because we've got parents who are stuck. And stuck parents can't raise free kids. One of the worst things you can do is drop your kids off at church. Because you're telling to them, it's for you, but it ain't for me. It's good for you, but when you get to 35, 40, 45, you really don't need it anymore. I was talking to one of our children's staff a couple years ago. I said, how's it going over there? He said, it's going good. He said, I love kids ministry, and I love what God is doing. But he said, the parents, he said, that they're, it's crazy. I said, what's crazy about it? He said, I stand here at the front of this FLC, and he said, I see two types of parents. He said, I see parents drop their kids off, and they go around the FLC. That tells me they're going to church. But he said, there's others that drop off their kids at the FLC, and they go out on the frontage road, which means they're not coming to church. They're taking two-hour free babysitting at Living Way. And then they're going to wonder why their kids are stuck. 90 minutes on Wednesday night is not going to keep you unstuck. It might get you unstuck, but you're going to have a relationship with Jesus that goes beyond Wednesday, Sunday, and where we are. I know stuck companies because they have stuck CEOs. And I know stuck churches because they have stuck pastors. What a sad thing it is when it's not the saints' problem. It's the platform problem. It's those that are leading or attempting to lead, but they're leading from a stuck place and not a free place. Let's go to our original text, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18. Forget the former thing. Do not dwell on the past. Two commands here that God gives to Isaiah. And when you read the context of Isaiah and where the nation of Israel is at, it is one of the most corrupt times that Israel has ever lived. It is so corrupt that God is allowing the Assyrians and other armies to come and to take them captive, to kill them, and to rob and pillage and plunder all that they have. And here is what God is saying to Isaiah, forget the former things. If you're going to get unstuck, you have to forget what is behind you. Forget defined is to fail to remember. If you're taking notes, write this phrase down. You have to remember to forget. When you wake up tomorrow, you have to remember to forget. When you said yes to Jesus, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It doesn't matter what you used to do and what you used to be. Jesus' blood on the cross took care of that. He took care of your sin problem. But now we've got to take care of a stuck problem. Because after we said yes to Jesus, some of us got bad theology. Some of us were corrupted by the people that we hung out with. We're corrupted by bad manners. It's produced by the company that we keep. And so we've got to forget those former things. You've got to forget all the bad things in your life. But here's the deal. You've got to forget all the good things too. Because good becomes the enemy of great. I've heard Bishop talk about it many times, and until I got older, I really didn't understand it. But nostalgia is one of the most dangerous things you can have. Because in your mind, the past was better than it really is. If you ever get to the place where the past is better in your mind than it really was, that is an enemy to your future. Because all you're doing is falling in love with what used to be, and your faith is not engaged to what God has said could be or would be. And so he said, you got to forget the former things, and he was ambiguous and did not qualify whether those former things were good or bad. But he said, if it's bad, you got to forget it because I got something good for you. If it was good, you got to forget it because I've got something great for you. And you can either be stuck in what was or you can be ready for what shall be. Philippians 3, verse 13, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have apprehended or taken hold of it. But this one thing I do, I forget what is behind me. Paul never qualified whether it was good or bad. He just said, everything behind me is behind me. Everything that has happened has already happened, and I can't do anything to change it. Jesus can cover it. Jesus can forget about it. When I repent of it, I'm moving forward. There's a reason why your rearview mirror is this big and your windshield is this big, because everything behind you does not matter. It is all about what is in front of you. And if you continually drive only looking in the rearview mirror, you are going to hit something in front of you. You are going to crash. You are going to go through something you would not have to go through if you just focused your faith on what is ahead. I've come to tell somebody to break off the rearview mirror of your life, because God is taking you somewhere. Forgetting what is behind me, straining towards what is ahead, pressing towards the goal, he said. He's straining, he's pressing. Come on, if you're straining and you're pressing for what is ahead, you cannot strain and press and look back. Only if you're casually moving forward can you look back. Only if you're casually just taking your future, your present, where God has you, if you just casually are going about it, you can look bad. But if you are straining for what God has in front of you, for the calling, if you're straining and pressing towards the faith that God has for, I am here to tell you, you cannot look back. Press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ. We must remember to forget. The second thing he says is, do not dwell on the past. Here's the key. Never let your mind stay in the past too long. What your mind thinks about long enough, your spirit will follow. That's why the Bible says that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. What the mind thinks about brings destruction or transformation. I cannot allow myself to think about how awesome 2003 when I married Mandy was. Because if I live on February 15, 2003, my marriage will end in a divorce, because I'm not here in the now. I'm always living in the yesterday. As good as it was, oh, we've had some better days than February 15th. Those better days were when our kids were born. Those better days were, there's been some idle Thursdays that have been amazing in our life. Why? Because we're not looking back. We're living in the now. We're not so caught up in the past that we miss out what God is doing in the present. And we're not so caught up in the past that we're not becoming in the present what we need to be to step into the future. There's too many of us that are concerned with the greatness or the not so greatness of our past. Some of us have been robbed of 2021 and 2022 because we're still in 2020. COVID is still on our minds. We're still talking about what we lost, what we went through. And I am in no way minimizing the loss that 2020 had, but I'm here to tell you, at Moses' funeral, God doesn't speak a word. He looks to Joshua and he says, get ready for in 3 days, 72 hours, you need to tell everybody, get ready because we're moving forward. He doesn't mention Moses, doesn't talk about the past. What he talks about is right now, get ready because I'm taking you somewhere. Get ready. The promise that we've talked about is actually going to happen. I know for 40 years you've been wandering around, but the wandering stops now. The stuckness, there's another new word, stops now. I'm about to unstick an entire generation so that they can move to where God has called them to be. Do not let your mind stay in the past for too long. Even as good as it was, I look around this building, there are people that are sitting here that have been here 40 years. As good as it has been at Living Way, can I prophesy that we are going to see greater, praise God. As many blinded eyes that have been opened, we're going to see more. As many deaf ears that have been unstopped, I'm still praying for Sophia Grace that God is going to open those. We're going to see it happen. As many people have been healed from cancer, we're going to see a 1,000 times that. As many people that have been restored here and delivered, I want this to be an epicenter of those coming addicted with every type of drug there is, but coming into this room without anyone laying a hand on them, they receive deliverance. They receive freedom. I'm here to talk to you some crazy faith today that God is doing a new thing, and we've got to start perceiving what God's doing, and we've got to get unstuck if we're going to unstick those around us. Praise team, if you'll come. Verse 19, see, I am doing a new thing. Somebody say new thing. This is God talking through Isaiah to the people of Israel. He said, I am doing a new thing. When you say it and I say it, it doesn't have the same ring as when God says it. God created all of the earth in 6 days. God has made something out of nothing. And God literally says, after creating in 6 days the entire world and entire existence that we know, God says, hey, guess what? I'm doing something new. I wish somebody would catch that. You're doing something different than creating a world. Oh, I'm doing something new. Wait a minute. There's animals that came out of your words. People came out of your words. The sun, the moon, the stars, the galaxy, the water, everything. He said, oh, I know all of that. I'm not redoing that. I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing. Catch this in the next 2 minutes. Not just new to you. Someone tells me, I got a new car. Oh, you got a new car? What'd you get? I got a 2016 Mustang. That's not a new car. That's new to you. And I'm not hating on used cars. I've had used cars. I wish I didn't have a payment right now. And guess what? You drive a car one day, it depreciates 15%. Guess what? You got a used car on day one. But check this out. Tyler's got a used car. 2016 Mustang. That's kind of where it came from. Thank you. Thank you for paying attention. Usually you're over there tinkering on the keyboard. Tyler loves his Mustang. Tyler has modded his Mustang. He's wrecked his Mustang. He's spilt milkshakes in his Mustang. Actually, I think that was a list. I don't know. There's all kinds of things that I've had. He loves his. It's new to him, but it's used. We don't know what that Mustang, what happened. I mean, Carfax isn't 100% true. We don't know what happened. We don't know if drug deals were done in that car. We don't know if babies were made in that car. Not mine. We don't know if sex trafficking happened in that car. New to him, but it's not new. Here's my point. God is doing a new thing, not for you. New for everybody. Let me declare this. God is getting ready to do things, and he is already doing things that have never been seen before in 6,000 years. Not that San Antonio hasn't seen it. Nobody's seen it. Not that you and I haven't seen it. The Apostle Paul hasn't seen it. I am here to tell you, we've got to get unstuck so that when God does the new thing, we get to be a partaker of the newness that God is doing. Stand on your feet. Not new to you, new to everybody. Not new to me, new to every. Sister Chris, you've seen thousands of miracles. God's saying, get ready. I'm getting ready to do something new. New. Brother Warren, Sister Dahlia, you got a collective 82 years at Living Way. And God is saying, everything you've seen, it's been great. But new's coming. Not just new for you, new for everyone.